silence is golden, so I guess I'm winning bronze. So stupid.
You haven't heard anything yet.
M-A-T-T. That's how you spell me.
Wait, it has two of my favorite things, spelling and rhymes. Yeah.
And dumb.
And dumb, and also one of my favorite guests. So there we go. You guys, it's Andy's Girls. It's episode Go Fuck Yourself.
It's a grand slam.
It is a grand slam today. It's 3:42. I'm so excited to have one of my favorite people back for an in-person.
I think this is my third time or fourth time on the show.
Couldn't tell you. We're almost at SNL 5.
I'm almost going to get the Letterman jacket. Or I'm going to leave him one of your gowns here from the closet.
Yes. You are going to get a gown. You're not going to get
I'm already
get
picking
Ursula.
Out the one I want.
Which one do you want?
Well, I'm seeing a certain color that's speaking to me for this December. I definitely, you know, there's some ba-ba-boom here. I might have some seasonal things to dress up for.
I'm into it. Yeah, this is a write-off in my heart.
I love that.
Right? Yeah, that's a little Marquisa
moment. No, podcasts are not a visual medium, but there's lots of stunning fashions in here, and I'm picking through them.
I love when I like reference something specific that is truly only visual. I'm like, oh, this is going to be great for the listeners. You guys, it's AG. I'm so excited. Return guest, co-host. I mean, there's a lot to say. He's a comedian, actor, writer, podcaster, television host, whose credits include the Showtime comedy I Love That For You, the feature film No Big Deal, Fire Island, and of course, my number one favorite pod, Los Culturistas with Bo and Yang. Welcome back to Andy's Girls, Matt Rogers.
Can't even tell you what a thrill it was. And also for this to have sort of come out of necessity, because we were sending voice memos back and forth,
yes,
just sort of venting about Beverly Hills. And now to see you here during, I mean, the great storm of episodes that are the Aspen trip. I mean, it's just faded.
I do feel like timing is everything. And in the last couple of weeks, knowing that you were coming on, I was like, oh, we're going to pretend that this is something I strategized, but we have no idea what the fuck happened. So,
well,
like,
I think sometimes, like, you know, God works in mysterious ways.
True.
You know what
she
I mean?
Does.
Sometimes she puts things right where they need to be. And she placed me in New York City at this time, which it is September 8th. We have just had some hours with the recent Beverly Hills, the second episode of the Aspen trip.
Right.
Where things are getting pretty crazy. Fucking crazy, I would say.
I want to get your thoughts, noting that you do discuss Housewives a little bit, not a little bit, like a moderate amount on Los Culturistas.
Yeah.
What's the response from the audience when you talk about BH?
You know what? It's like, I think that sometimes our readers, which is what we call our listeners, they pick things up that we seem to be interested in, and they try it on for themselves. And I think that people are kind of into the Housewives thing. I don't know if they're as into it as Bowen and I are.
Yeah.
It's weird to talk about like one thing a ton when you have like a pop culture at large podcast. And so really we just kind of like, if it happens to be something that's top of mind, we'll get into it. We like some franchises more than others, or there's ones that Bowen and I can just talk about a little bit easier.
Yeah.
Beverly Hills being one of them, Potomac being a big one, Salt Lake. But it's not a Housewives podcast, you know what I mean? But we get into it.
Have there been Housewives that have made it to your list of like must-have guests?
We've had two.
Right.
So we've had Dr. Wendy Osefo and we've had Garcelle.
Right.
And they were both great in very different ways. Like, it was interesting. Like, I really want only Housewives on the show that I feel like I can talk to about more things than just their experience on Housewives.
Totally.
Like, we have some people that sort of want to be on the show, and I've had some conversations about having them on the show, and I always just want to make sure that there is going to be like a totalness to the episode that isn't just like, let's get into it about what happened on this trip in this last episode, or like how you think the reunion's going to be, just because it's not that interesting on our podcast.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, someone like Dr. Wendy, who's got like, you know, a very interesting, unique perspective and life experience, and I find her to be a different kind of housewife, which is why I wanted to have her on. And also, we do love Potomac. And then obviously Garcelle has a major career in Hollywood and has seen a lot, and she had a book coming out that had lots of stuff that I wanted to talk to her about. But if I was going to have another housewife on, it would have to feel like this can be a full episode of Los Culturistas.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? The show has to come first before like me wanting to talk to like Jen Aiden. You know what I mean? which is not a drag on Jen Aiden.
Completing the Holy Trinity.
You know what I mean?
Dr. Wendy Garcelle and Jennifer Aiden.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that would probably be better for like a Housewives podcast. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
And if you yourself, Matt.
I love Jen Aiden, by the way. That's why I pick on
no
her.
No shade.
I love her. Jennifer. I do adore her.
Good to know. Good clarity. If you yourself had 20 minutes at, you know, for drinks at the Polo Bar, who is it that you would want to talk to off recording just to be like, oh my God, I get you, or what the absolute fuck? Is there someone that you have in mind?
Kyle right now.
Really?
Yeah, because I think that, like, I don't recognize her lately. Or maybe, like, I'm given more room to recognize her. And I actually did want to get into the Kyle of it all with you a little bit, because
let's do it.
I actually think it's a bigger deal than people are making it out to be. Like, I think that Kyle is the lead of the show and the protagonist of the show. So if the show doesn't feel like it's working, it probably does have something to do with her. And I think it actually has a lot to do with her this year.
Okay, so we're going to really get into it, and I just want to say trigger warning to anybody that has Kyle in their top five.
Well, I have Kyle in my top five.
I have Kyle in my top five. Yeah, so this is a real wreck. I feel like this season has been a reckoning for us.
Well, can I just throw something out there? I want to posit something. When Kyle hosts something, she gets crazy. That's a thesis I'm going to throw out there. Because the other time she was crazy this year, I felt, was when they were at her La Quinta house. And remember when she was sitting on the floor all relaxed and sort of getting into it with Crystal about the Sutton of it all and the dark comment of what? When Kyle is in her home holding court in like one of her vacation homes, she has like something happens with her. Something like snaps. Like, and I noticed it at La Quinta, and I noticed it again in Aspen last week at her home when they were all talking in the beginning about when they all sat around while the Ouija board was out and Kyle was bringing up all these like catastrophic topics and then started freaking out when Kathy was like,
right.
Guys, who cares about unfollowing? No one's that important. Like, we all know this is stupid, right? And Kyle started screaming about, it's the intent. It's the intent of it. Rah! And starts like, she got, her face looked different. It was like when Ariel turns into like Vanessa, or like Ursula turns into Vanessa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I of course we're seeing the Crystal Kung Minkoff, Rob Minkoff, Ursula
Artiste
drawing
is design behind us.
But like something happens when Kyle feels like entitled to being somewhere, and I don't know that it's like a concrete thing I'm saying here, but like she's been off. And even last night's episode, when she finally is standing up to Erica, she's just so quick to like this anger and this like freneticism that I'm just like, what is going on there? A couple times I thought she was drunk. Like it's been, her behavior this season has been wilder than it has been.
And do you think that's a conscious decision on her part, noting the way that she's criticized by so many people, or at least acknowledged as being like a spiritual producer for the show?
I think that, have you always noticed that she produces?
I think in the last couple seasons, I've probably acknowledged it, noting that I think everyone to a certain extent produces, which is how I am able to skirt the question of how long have you known that she produces?
Well, because this year, like, I think she's always done this, but this year it seems to be the first time that the show is actively producing an edit, which shows the other woman being like, why is she doing this?
I think it came out more during LVP's departure and after, because you couldn't hide behind LVP being the master producer. When LVP left, it was like, okay, who is not only handling the burden of this, but who are we going to recognize and acknowledge as the person that's driving story in a way that feels focused on the actual story itself? Like, sometimes when Kyle's communicating, it feels like she's thinking 6 months ahead, where she's presenting to the camera. It doesn't help that she's a performer, because you feel that.
I mean, either she is losing the naturalness of achieving what she's always achieved, or the edit has turned against her. It's one of those two things. Because, and it might even be both.
Yeah.
Because the show, there's no other way to look at her in the way that she's presented in the edit as like at least aiding and abetting the villains of the show. Kind of until literally last night. Because when she finally turned to Erica and was like, I can't defend you. notice that it's not you are wrong. It's right. I can't defend you. It's beyond my capability as the de facto leader and protagonist of this show. I can't defend you when you talk like this. It's not I'm disappointed in you. What you're saying is offensive to me. But what about the victims? It's ultimately I can't defend you.
Because she knows she's aligned with Erica and Erica's perspective. It's why she's tried to shift a lot of the focus and the blame on Sutton, which is what we also saw with Lisa Rinna, sidebar. Lisa Rinna being like, we need to get her out of here to Diana. Yeah. And Dorit isn't because of anything else but Erica revealing how she really feels and that being the ultimate worst possible thing to happen to the Fox Force. Nobody wants Erica to show herself because it reveals the rupture underneath this like majority foundation.
Right. And I guess I'm just wondering as a viewer of the show, what exactly is the positive aspect of being aligned with horrible people? Like, because Erica saying what she said last night is indefensible. Yes. But it's also evil. Like, yes, it's indefensible. It's also cuckoo, crazy, full tilt, full pivot evil to say, I don't care about anyone but myself. Fuck you for thinking about anyone else but me, pointing to herself. Who you, she points, should be concerned about is me, points to herself. It was wild. And for them to only now see this like maybe fall apart a little bit because they can no longer align themselves with them, mm-hmm. with her, that's weird to me. And I just wonder, what is it, what is the game they've been convinced that they're playing that they think that makes them more interesting on this show than actually just having human reactions to things and being like, hey, maybe Sutton has a point here, or Garcelle, I am listening to you, or, you know, this, that, or the other thing. It's the alignment first on this season and I guess on this series, which like is really presenting a problem for me.
Yeah, and there's no Sutton or Garcelle to fall back on in that moment. If you the best part of that moment, and I use best within the circumstance, obviously noting how fucking terrible and disgusting it was that Sutton stayed quiet, which I thought was incredibly important. And at a certain point, so did Garcelle, just in terms of allowing Erica to take center stage, which was the most effective thing that they could do, because you can't rely on how dare you not say I don't have empathy for the victims when you have someone not only saying, of course I don't have empathy for the victims, how dare you have empathy for the victims, and also they're not really victims.
And maybe they don't exist.
They're potential victims, which is something that I've discussed on Andy's Girls for a while, which was my belief that she doesn't believe these crimes took place. And her anger at them filing suit against her. She is mad that these people are coming for her. So not only does she see herself as the victim in this sense, regardless of the semantics she'll allow Kyle to use, but she's also mad at these people, which is different from the assumption that the vast population has that people who were stolen from are victims of that theft. You also have Erica saying, you're coming for me, how dare you? Which is a difference there. It's like, it's not being agnostic about the crime taking place, which would almost be like the best case scenario for, I think, an Erica defender. It's her saying, this maybe didn't happen, and my husband is, or strange, whatever, isn't able to defend himself, so I'm doing that on his behalf. And also, how dare you come for me? What gives you the right to come for me? Which is where a lot of the rage is coming from, which is incredibly fucked up.
I mean, it's really becoming what it always was going to become, which is like this like bizarre, disgraced, mad queen. Like, and I just feel like, what's weird is, and what I think is like obviously what's broken about her, is that she can't even respond to the question, but don't you think it'd be worth it to just give them the earring? She keeps going to this thing and she's gaslighting them into thinking, I can't do that legally. You can do anything. Like, you were given the earrings as a gift. No, you could give them as a gift. Like, But then her line of defense is that she doesn't believe these people are telling the truth. And so, like, then why would she give them up? But I guess that is just the ultimate gaslight of all, because of course we know the victims, like, were victimized. We've seen them. Like, you know what I mean? It's like we've heard from them. This wouldn't have proceeded this far in, like, the legal system if it didn't happen.
She still thinks of herself as the wife of a very highly regarded, super successful lawyer. What she has not recognized is that the law does matter, which is why it's so terrible and why her husband was disbarred, because he broke the law many, many times. These victims sought recourse for the various terrible things that happened to them and were awarded millions of dollars that their lawyer then stole. Yeah. So if we're going to have a conversation about the letter of the law matters, let's continue that thought, Erica. The reason that so many people are so upset is because your husband did the single worst thing that a lawyer could do. He was their advocate.
He abused the trust of his clients.
Yes, yeah. He abused their trust. He manipulated the circumstances in voice messages that people can hear in the myriad of pieces that the LA Times has done, in addition to other investigative journalism that's been reported. So continue that thought, because if we're going to focus on the letter of the law, we're focusing on the letter of the law, but we're also assuming that these people are potential victims. You can't have half the story, because the second half is what is the focus of so many people. She wants it 8 different ways. And also, did she bring the earrings on the trip? I thought she said to Garcelle at that dinner,
yeah,
I'll show them to you tomorrow. That's not verbatim, but fuck, man. Are you doing that because you're afraid that, like, yeah, Susan lawyer is going to show up to your house to take them? Why are you? It is ridiculing people who have been grievously harmed. And it's not only not acknowledging the harm, but denying its existence.
Right. Yeah. And so I guess this is where I ultimately, like even watching Kyle in the last few minutes of the episode last night, like, deciding this is her end of the line, it's just like, you really have to assess your own judgment if this is your end of the line. Like, it should have been the end of the line, because they actually do know her. And so the fact that Kyle says, I can't defend you, is because Erica is now saying it on television. Notice she kept saying, stop saying that.
Of course.
Stop saying that. Rinna says, we have to get her out of here.
Absolutely.
Because it's no longer advantageous for them to have their teammate be on camera saying this stuff. And this zooming out from how terrible it all is what's broken and, like, annoying about the show, is that you get a sense that they actually could all get along and have, like, a nice time if they didn't feel like they had to play defense the whole time. It feels like a sporting event, this franchise, the way that others don't. Like, and you know that, of course, like, there are allegiances and quote-unquote alliances on other franchises, but this feels like it's actively stopping set pieces, or, like, it moves things forward that are just, like, more frustrating than entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I don't feel like there is necessarily a moral center to this group that I also enjoy watching, because I'm going to say something that might be a little bit unpopular.
Your safe space.
Sutton and Garcelle are right. They are right. I don't think they are that fun to watch, because, and I really like them both, but I get the sense they hate being on the show. And when they were on that snowmobiling trip, the energy was dead. It was dead. It was more fun to watch the villains ski than it was to watch Sutton and Garcelle sit around and be like, well, this isn't going to be very fun. Like, when the guy's trying to teach them how to get on the snowmobile and Garcelle's like, ugh, you're too positive. Ugh. There's nothing worse than that energy. And, like, I think that they're right. I think that they are right. But we have to get the best of both worlds here. We need women that enjoy each other, that have conflict, that are able to get over it. It's conflict and resolution, not my team versus yours. And it just so happens that the team that, like, sucks is also better at being housewives because they enjoy doing it.
Okay. And I totally hear you. And I'm acknowledging.
I get it.
No, I think it's important to say, but how fun can you be however many hours after being called a cunt and attacked for God knows how long?
But it's been like this from the beginning. Because that when you remember their trip to, I think it was Italy. I think they went to Rome a few seasons ago.
Milan.
It was this,
somewhere
it
fabulous.
Was the, it was the one where...
Denise.
Denise was with them. It was like somewhere, maybe somewhere like that.
Yeah.
Garcelle was over it from the beginning. She didn't want to... She was out there staring out through the gate. Remember when she left the restaurant to go stare through the gate?
Mm-hmm.
And they were like, what are you doing out here? I miss my kids. You don't like being on this show.
Well, it was also a terrible introduction to Housewives itself. She's sure, coming in at a different point.
She's never once had fun on the show.
She's probably had fun through the show than on the show. But how can you have fun when you're surrounded?
I agree. Then it's not the right group of women together.
Okay. And I'm hearing you and I'm not necessarily hearing. But like, what's the change that you would make?
This is what I think. I think we don't have to lose Sutton and Garcelle. I just think we need to make a better atmosphere for them. So if I'm going to put the show together, I think it's time for Erica and Rinna to go.
Both of them.
I
did not think you were going to say that.
No, they should go. Because I think that if Erica and Rinna go, the Fox Force doesn't really exist anymore.
You would keep Dorit over Erica.
I find Dorit to be funny to watch. I think that she's kind of flopping right now because it looks like she's going to go down in flames defending Erica, which is
try her best.
So crazy. Yeah. But at least
someone needs to do it. She's sacrificing.
Someone's got to do it. And at least she'll look funny doing it, because I do continue to think that as a character out in the world, she is someone I think is funny. Like, yeah. I think it's funny that she says, I don't understand it in three different languages, and they cut to a talking head and she says it in all the languages. I think that's really very chic. 15 times is funny. And I do think she's being herself while doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Erica, I think she's now playing a villain, like, and being one, which is, like, so unfun. I think she leaned into the drunk thing to have a different storyline. And Rinna, as we all know, is no longer grounded in reality as a human woman. And so she needs to be put on pause or whatever they said to Dorinda, because I don't believe it's over, but I believe it has to stop. So, therefore, if you have Kyle, Dorit, Crystal, if she kind of just... does something. I don't dislike her. I really want her on the show. I just think, you know, I think the reunion is going to be a big test for her.
I think the reunion is actually bigger for her
than anyone.
Yeah, which is a weird thing to say.
Yeah. Well, she's the only one on the bubble, I think.
Yeah.
I think they've made their decisions about other people. But I think Kyle with Garcelle, Sutton, Dorit, and Crystal. Maybe Kathy stays on as a friend still. Maybe Kim comes on as a friend. So you get some Richard stuff, which I know that they want. And then bring on a couple new women. And I think you got to get rid of Cherie. It's just not happening.
Cherie is really in no way making sense.
It's just nothing.
And Diana, obviously.
Gone.
I mean, Diana has sort of voted herself off the island a little bit.
She's gone. I mean... It seems like that writing is already on the wall, and I don't think anyone's going to miss her. I think it's a little bit of a shame the way it happened, because, I mean, I think it's great to have someone that's genuinely rich. I think it's great to have someone that's, like, at least at the beginning had a compelling personal story, like, regardless of, like, how deep and dark it all gets. Like, maybe it would have been fun to get there. I don't know. But it's just not happening chemistry-wise, like, and she won't want to come back. So I think you kind of whittle it down to those five or six. And then because there's not a Fox Force alliance, we can actually see if there is really a genuine friendship between someone like Kyle and Sutton, even though Kyle throws Sutton under the bus every single chance she gets. And Sutton seems to never learn from her mistakes in that regard. If there is an actual friendship there, we can see it. I do believe that Kyle and Garcelle could enjoy each other if they don't. But they're just on opposing sides. So get rid of the sides by cutting those two out. And then I think we're better. We're in a better position.
Do you think genuinely that with the ratings this show has gotten this season, that they are willing to let go of Erica Jayne? I just don't see it.
You think people watch because of Erica Jayne?
I think that she has added an explosive, potentially psychotic element to this show that has made it, and I'm not playing a morality game at this. I'm saying I'm taking the morality out of it, which is like, LOL, I guess so is she. But
putting the numbers ahead of the story even a little bit, I don't know that they would be willing to make that kind of investment.
I guess this is assuming that the good ratings are because of Erica Jayne, a cast member who, when she debuted, the ratings were higher. So I would say that they are not necessarily dealing with like a surge in ratings. Their ratings are still good. They're not dealing with like the best ratings they've had in years. You know what I mean?
I mean, I think they are like the highest rated franchise.
Right, but every franchise is down. Right, so what I'm saying is like, it's not like...
It's not like after Tom was revealed, it
the ratings went through the roof. It was just that they were able to maintain more of an audience than the other franchises were. Because every franchise is way down.
See, I would be interested to potentially see what next season would look like removing Rinna, who seems like Erica's biggest defender, protector, and seeing how Erica handles that. But maybe we're just seeing that now.
If they want to change what's broken with the show, in my perspective, which is the fact that there's two teams, they need to literally level the playing field, because it's not level. That's why you have Garcelle and Sutton shouted down. And sure, yeah, maybe like when they're in those situations, it's advantageous sometimes because you have the other cast members hang themselves.
Mm.
But it's not fun. This show's not fun. Do you have fun watching the show?
No, I think it's a dread watch.
Exactly.
I don't think it's... I used to use the term hate watch, but that's actually not it. I look forward to getting through episodes so that I don't have to watch the episode anymore, which is not where you want to be as a content creator, let alone a viewer.
You know, I'll tell you what I watch it for, what I kind of live for, are the moments where, like, they all laugh about Homeless Not Toothless. You know what
yes.
I mean? Like Ugly Leather Pants, like that stuff. Like conflict that is like not that big of a fucking deal, and that you are laughing at home because these women are arguing about it. With a conflict this dark and the word cunt being thrown around, it's like, what? It's like, this is genuine bullying. And the reason why it happens offline is because that energy trickles down from what we are watching.
Mm-hmm.
So like, yes, the internet is evil on its own, but like, you need a spark to light a fire. And like, what's happening on screen is too fucking dark. It sets a precedent for the type of behavior that then the fans catch. They catch it. It's infectious.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... Before this, always the most toxic fandoms were either, I guess, Jersey, because the tree huggers are like essentially militant.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Potomac fan base is tough because you got a lot of still people that are like extremely pro Monique, who like really, and also, you know, the way Candace behaves on social media is, you know, inflammatory in its own way.
Mm-hmm.
But this right now is by far the darkest franchise. Like, they premiered the Potomac trailer the other day, and Bowen said, "I just miss Potomac because it's the most fun." And I'm like, yeah, this was the franchise 2 years ago where there was a violent attack on screen. And that's the one that's now most fun. That's how dark it all is.
But it did feel like the trailer didn't feel like it was a return to fun. I mean, it felt...
For sure.
Which shows the ways that relationships can be repaired, and also the ways that alliances can be shifted when people leave the cast.
Exactly. And so that's why I'm saying you have to get rid of the toxic person. And I think there's like right now, because there's a toxic alliance that stops the show from being fun, just cut out the members of those alliances that are the least interesting at this point. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's Rinna and Erica. Because you always know what you're going to get. For me.
Listen, it's not even that. I honestly, at the end of the day, feel so much confusion about the state of Beverly Hills, a show, a franchise that I have loved for so many years, that feels like it's imploding and embracing the implode. And yet the conversation that's happening amongst members of the cast right now is about like, what Kathy maybe said off camera, which is just, it's so...
I think it's a red herring.
I mean, it is a literal ocean of red... To say in advance of episodes airing, this should be your number one priority, this should be your number one focus, and if you don't see something that I'm going to tell you happened, or if it doesn't play in the way that
I'm telling you it did. Know that there was an orchestrated campaign behind the scenes to support and defend a friend of cast member.
I have news for you, Rinna. That's not the show we're watching. The show we're watching has you acting crazy. And another thing I do want to make clear is I have all the sympathy in the world for her loss of Lois and for how difficult that clearly was. But you cannot use your grief as an excuse to treat other people badly. Like, it's just not okay. Like, and you can't also then use your awareness of that as a justifier, because people are still going to be hurting. Like, your behavior, like, never mind the fact that it's always been kind of toxic, you're now using as a justifier your grief, which is wrong.
And it also hasn't changed. Like, Lois died this year, and while that is a terrible, tremendous, foundational shifting loss, how is your behavior right now dissimilar than every single season you've been on the show?
It's not. Now she just has an excuse, and the fact that she's using this as an excuse, like, which she has, is like bordering on sick to me. Like,
well, I think it's manipulative.
Right. And it's manipulative in a way that's like no one can dare speak to, because you've now also said it causes me to behave erratically, and you got the rest of your alliance members saying that she can't be spoken to in any way because we have to have grace for her. So when exactly is one single individual in this Fox Force whatever going to own up to a thing or allow one of their so we're living in a world where everything they do is right because there's an excuse for everything? It's not good. It doesn't make sense.
And then we watch scenes like this week where they talk about how Sutton is a mean girl bully.
With what army?
I mean,
with who?
Literal hours after she was called a cunt and cried, where her tears are considered suspect.
By the way, real tears. The bad
I mean,
period.
Absolutely. They say that she's the bad one, but she's okay in group settings. And it's like, how are you guys in group settings?
That is literally, that's the biggest gaslighting I've ever heard, because the way mean girls behave, we've seen it over the years, is they amass people that follow them and conspire to target one person, which is what you guys have been doing. You've been doing that. And you gaslight people into thinking that they're a loser. That's what mean girls do. And who are the people that they've accused of being that? Last year, Dorit called Garcelle a bully, which is a, you know, that's a word that when you put onto someone, like, you say mean girl. Mm. They tried to make Crystal seem like she was a mean girl and like someone who moved in social groups like this and like tried to, like, with, you know, with the 14 girlfriends of it mm-hmm. all, like, they tried to paint her with that brush, and now they're saying it about Sutton. I have news for you. These are not the women in quote unquote power in this group or with the privilege of alliance members. You are doing this thing.
So what do you do, noting that the reunion is being filmed tomorrow? We're recording this on Thursday. What do you do if you're Andy? What's the reset here, if there is one? Or are you just engaging in a narrative that to many of us feels false?
I think Andy, who I've now met several times mm-hmm. and I adore, needs to go harder on his faves.
Do you think he has capacity to?
I hope so.
Yeah.
I think he's got to turn to Kyle, and I think we have to have, like, I think we need a reckoning for Kyle. I think Kyle should want, I think it's not a success unless Kyle leaves the reunion feeling like,
broken.
I want to quit. Mm. She needs to have a tough reunion, or else the literal edit doesn't make sense. She needs to answer for the fact that, like, someone will be like, Kyle, please, I don't want to talk about this right now, please. And then she turns around and says, and lights the match.
Right.
She needs to answer for that. It has happened numerous times. Like, 1.5 times an episode. she has to answer for it. Because guess what? It's not unclear. We don't really need to dig in anymore with Erica. You know what I mean? Like, we don't need another big episode with Erica, which is like, explain to us how you feel. She has told us.
Multiple times.
We need to get to the middle of this Kyle thing. Like, because that's what it is. Dorit is secondary to that, but Dorit is also a follower. Kyle is the leader and the protagonist of this show. The reason why the show is in the state that it's in is because of the way Kyle prefers to do things. And I don't want to feel this way about her. Like, I like watching the show when I'm watching it and I say, I'm Kyle. We need to be able to watch it and say, we are all Kyle. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and yet I've heard from so many people who are like, now you see what we've always felt. And I'm like, well, I don't have a response to that, except I haven't had that experience. So now I feel like, am I catching up or has this person changed?
Kyle, I think, and not everyone agrees with me on this, but Kyle has an it factor in a way where it's like, you get why, and a lot of Mean Girls have this. You understand why they've made it so far. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, she is so funny. Mm-hmm. She's gorgeous. Mm-hmm. She is a lot of fun. She probably talks really good shit. She looks people right in their eyes. When you are going through something, she's crying alongside you. She's extremely empathetic. She is a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. Camille has been saying it from the beginning. Even when she hated her at that season one reunion, Camille even said, you know, the thing about Kyle is she is the girl that you want to sit next to at the party. Mm-hmm. She's a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And because that's all true, like, I think that there are certain members of the viewing audience, I think probably you and I are among them, that give her the benefit of the doubt a lot because we enjoy watching her.
Yes, and because, as you said, we empathize with her. We might see ourselves a little bit in her.
Yeah, and she is the center of this atmosphere. And I think that many times she has been a sympathetic figure because I think we also... A lot of people that watch the show may know what it's like to deal with a very chaotic person in your life, which was Kim. And I think that, I think that she earned a lot of goodwill from seeming like the person in that relationship with her sister that, like, had really been long suffering. Mm-hmm. But remember, this is also an edited television show with the purpose of entertaining us and telling a story that they decide we're seeing. So it's just interesting now that, like, all those characters that served as foils for Kyle are now gone. And her only foils are, like, abject awful. And she still is playing the same game she's always played with, like, the teams of it all. And it doesn't look right. So I guess my question is, like, Kyle, who actually are you? Who are you outside of deciding who you can and cannot defend? You know what I mean? Like, what is it? How do you feel about this? And if you do feel this way, can you tell someone how you feel? We've seen her do it before. And that makes me feel like maybe she's just tired. And that's why when she finally did do it last night, it seemed so fucking crazy.
Well, I feel like a part of it, too, is that regardless of how we feel about how her behavior and how it's magnified this season, you now have Kathy in the mix, who was seen last season as a huge fan favorite, came back friend of after whatever negosh took place, and is now calling out Kyle's behavior. Kyle, who for a segment of the audience was seen as the voice of the audience, mm-hmm. is now being told in real time by her older sister that her behavior is bullshit. And trying to control that behavior in the middle of these hot moments. Kyle, don't swear.
Yeah.
That was tough because you're watching a woman who's supposedly leading this show being put in her place by her older sister who has ultimate control in their dynamics. And I feel like what we're watching Kyle do now is to reshift that. Like, I still have control on this show. I'm not going to promote the tequila. I'm not going to do the things that are seen as, like, you don't even necessarily think of what she has done with Mauricio in the agency. You don't really think so much about Rena Rose's 18 launches that we've seen take place. Kathy's holding up a bottle of tequila being like,
Nikki and her husband are investors, and Kyle won't allow it to happen because this is the control that she has in their relationship. It's through the lens of the show. But what happens when the show is no longer on your side? And now maybe nor is your sister. Mm. What does that do to the power, to the dynamics of their relationship?
Here's what I'll say. It is, I don't know if it's obvious to Kyle the ways that she's doing this. I think she might think she's like, oh, Kathy, and negging Kathy in the way that she maybe like did last year. Like, oh, look at my sister. She's such a fool. Kathy, come on. Like, oh, isn't she silly? I think she's playing this game of like, isn't Kathy silly? And Kathy may actually be trying to show a different side of herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they're not on the same page about the dynamic. Because yeah. I actually think you're right. That probably what happens in their actual dynamic is Kathy makes a decision about what's happening, and that's what's happening. Like when Kathy, with I think it was Nikki's wedding a few years ago, was like only invited half Kyle's family.
Mm.
Like, think about that. That's a move. This is like someone who is extremely triggered by her older sisters and like way more vulnerable and sensitive to what they say and do. I mean, let's all think about our own siblings. You know what I mean? There's mm-hmm. dynamics from childhood that remain in your psyche as an adult and cause you, it's like with a parent, any family member, you know what I mean? It's just like, it's like when you go home for the holidays or whatever and you hear in your voice that you're sounding 15 again. You know what I mean? And you're like, what is that? It's because things trigger things. And so they stumbled into an edited dynamic,
mm-hmm.
which was Kyle going, oh, Kathy, you're so silly. And Kathy being like, hunky dory. And now it's different. Maybe Kathy wants to reveal another side of herself. And Kyle's on this weird struggle trying to maintain all the dynamics and produce. And she looks crazy. And then Kathy says something like, don't swear. And so in this next episode, when they all buy fucking Kendall Jenner's tequila
whatever.
Instead of Kathy's, and Kathy gets pissed off about it, it will all seem so dumb to us, and it will seem so blown out of proportion, I can predict,
mm-hmm.
but to them, it's going to be an extremely big deal. And that's kind of what I want to see on Housewives. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This stupid shit that exposes real things. Not this, like engineered alliance driven like stupid bullshit over dark stuff that like promotes hate online.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, what's happening with the tequila wars? Give me that.
Yeah, it's using the like false environment, the artificial environment, the bubble of the show to expose real stakes, which are seemingly that Kyle has been the big sister on Beverly Hills for a number of years, and now her big, big sister is back and is putting her in her place. And Kyle's like, the weird stuff about Kathy like asking for too much or being too demanding didn't in any way play when this woman is like sleeping in a bunk bed.
First of all, she has more money than anyone. She doesn't care how much they pay her. That's not why she did this. That didn't make any sense to me either. It's like, okay, Kathy Hilton was like, what, demanding more money? For what reason? That's not the way she thinks. I genuinely don't think that can possibly be the way she thinks.
Well, and also like the weird tote bag moment in the restaurant of how foolish is my sister for bringing this like shmata bag to dinner?
Well, okay, that didn't bother me as much because it didn't seem like Kathy was as bothered by that as everyone makes it out to be. Like,
okay, true.
Like my thing is just like, that was on game for Kathy, which is just like, look at how Kathy acts like a normal person, just like anyone else,
right,
and is like
no
a slob
glam,
like the rest of us,
right,
even though she's worth all this money. You
right.
know what I mean? Like that to me was like on game for the Kathy thing. The ways in which, like, maybe it will all boil up and maybe it's been boiling up to something else. But, like, to me, that felt like the game we were playing. And, like, I had heard about this bag thing because Paris Hilton had tweeted about it. Did you know that?
No, tell me.
Oh, Paris. Someone was like, "Oh, that was mean."
And she said it was
the tequila thing, and like the way she was undercutting it. And Paris quote retweeted it and said, "So unkind."
Right.
Unhappy face. Like Paris has like shots fired against Kyle.
And the thing that's so interesting to me about that is that Kyle, before Housewives, was sort of professionally known as Paris and Nikki's aunt. She was the one on like the VH1 specials who went on as the representative of the Hilton name through the fact that she was their aunt. She was always known as their aunt. The currency and value of that was huge. And then came along Housewives, which is another kind of currency and value and fame. But when you have Paris Hilton, who is not only your niece, but a superstar, putting you in your place on social media, to me, that is going to be gutturally to Kyle, sort of more effective as a gut punch than the fact that Kathy isn't speaking to her right now. Like that for Kyle, I think is really tough, because when your identity has become Housewives and now she's doing all these other things, but it's still based in Housewives. But prior to that and still related to that is the Paris and Nikki connection.
Mm-hmm.
And Paris herself is now saying, "You fucking suck." That's not great for Kyle. That's not great for Kyle on camera and off. And all of this is happening the day before the reunion.
Yeah, it seems really well timed. I'll say that.
A lot of stuff that's happening right now seems very well timed.
The lawsuit that Diana filed.
Which, it's an honor to be nominated. Can't believe that I'm mentioned in it.
Are you?
Yeah, and that's...
Wait, what?
Yeah, I should have told you that before we started referring. Yeah.
Wait, so are you a...
Nope.
You were not sued?
No. It does appear that an article that I wrote for the Daily Beast,
yes,
is being used by Diana's team to establish the harm done to Diana as a result of conversation about what is allegedly a bot attack against Jax. So what a day.
With Mother's Day around the corner, are you thinking about a truly special gift for your mom or a maternal figure in your life? Let me tell you about MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book. Pretty cool, right? Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions you want to ask. Then she can either type up her response or record her voice. And MyLifeInABook.com compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It's like preserving her voice and her stories for eternity. This book becomes a legacy, something you and future generations can treasure forever. Your mom's given you a lifetime of stories. This is your chance to give her a way to share them. I want to know about the stories of how my mom and dad grew up. What's the first thing they remember after they were born? That's one of the questions I sent to my dad after signing up for My Life in a Book. And I can't think of a greater gift to give my dad in sharing his stories and to receive. It's super easy to use. My favorite part of it, as someone who sometimes lives on turtle time and forgets about sending or receiving email, is that they reach out a couple days prior to sending questions, just so I know of what questions they're going to send to my dad, if I want to change it for another question or customize it with something that I want to know. It's that kind of specificity and care that I love so much. This is genuinely an incredible, incredible gift. There's no greater present than I could give a family member or a loved one than to participate in this kind of meaningful appreciation for the entirety of their lives, separate from my own. Check out mylifeinabook.com and use code AndysGirls at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for your mom or loved one this Mother's Day. That's mylifeinabook.com with code AndysGirls for 10% off today. And thank the Jills Erin and your life and mine. Spoiler alert, I watch a lot of Bravo, and when I'm not watching Bravo, I'm sitting in the cloth having a moment of spiritual growth, and when that's not happening, I'm living here in New York where there is a lot to do and not a lot of time to do it. The last thing that I want to be thinking about, let alone worrying about, is my hair. Now, I have wavy hair naturally. It also has color processing, which is surprising because I am a spiritual blonde. And as a result, I don't want to have to worry about frizz. That's why I love Way's anti-frizz cream. It works for my hair texture. It works for having wavy hair. It smells great. There are notes of bergamot, Italian lemon. You guys know I just went to Italy. It was for moments like this. Violet and more. Having used a lot of products in my hair in the past, I don't like a heavy feeling, especially when you have wavy hair. That's incredibly important, which is why I love the anti-frizz cream. It makes my hair look like me just a little bit better. Way's new anti-frizz cream provides immediate frizz control that lasts up to 72 hours. It helps reduce and repair split ends. And according to a consumer perception study, 90% of participants agreed that their hair looks less frizzy. And I would like to know what that consumer perception study has to say about some original cast members of The Real Housewives of New York. You'll be way obsessed with Way's bestsellers. They're leave-in conditioner, detox shampoo, hair oil, gloss, and so much more. Frizz-free up your schedule with Way. Go to theouai.com and enter promo code Andy for 15% off any product. That's theouai.com, promo code Andy. C'est bon.
Well, I'll just say that's crazy.
If you had told me that the piece that I had been written would be used legally to potentially uncover the bots or who is behind this attack, I don't know that I would have believed it, but I also think, wouldn't it be great to find out who was behind this?
Yeah.
And all of this happening essentially a day before the reunion. Timing is everything. Yeah, I think
a lot is happening. I will say that
that will be used during the reunion. A lot is happening that will be used during the
reunion. Do you
the
think
reunion.
They're all going to show up? That's my question.
Yeah. Who wouldn't?
Well, I guess two of them, I would say I wouldn't be totally surprised if they didn't show up. And that's, I'm talking main cast members. Because Kathy has said she's going.
Which is to me, honestly, the most surprising.
Oh, because I know for a fact that she didn't say any fucking slurs. Can I say something?
Oh my God. Can you please, can we break news here right now? Can you please?
I know. Not for a fact, but I also like, you're like saying break news.
You just said, oh, I know no, 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 for no. a fact.
In my We're heart, I know for a fact.
Facts. We're talking alternative facts.
Also understand, like, anyone that's out there trying to sue me, whenever I'm like, I know for a fact beyond a doubt, it just means that I believe it. Like, please don't take me seriously at all. I should never be sued because I'm not a serious person. Okay. When I say, I feel in my heart that mm-hmm. Kathy Hilton did not say a slur. What probably happened is she probably said something fucking crazy about Kyle. And that's what Rinna is like. She said something no one's ever going to believe. Maybe even it was a slur against Kyle. Maybe she said the C word. Maybe something like that. But I think it's been twisted to sort of make it seem like Kathy should be like canceled in a way. And maybe I'm wrong. And maybe she did say something like that. I'm just like, I think maybe it would have been a little bit more alluded to or a little bit leaned on a little bit harder if any of that had been true. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we're only getting the story right now through Rinna's social media. There has not actually been...
Which is the definition of unruly and untrustworthy.
Yeah. And she said literally one day
that she wanted to focus on fashion and fun, and she wasn't going to post anymore about Beverly Hills. And she's now, as of today, posting screenshots of text messages that she had with Kathy, where Kathy is like,
maybe she's doing that today.
Yeah, she was like, maybe like, don't reference the thing that I said or whatever, which again,
what?
I know.
She can't help it.
She can't help it. But also, so much of this is confusing to me because I have a brother. I don't have a sister, but I do think sister dynamics can be incredibly fucked up. I just think like you can say any kind of sibling dynamics, families are annoying. But with sisters especially, I have, you know, as an outsider seen through friends, loved ones, whomever, sister dynamics where you're like saying terrible things mm-hmm. about someone. Mm-hmm. And that's just kind of like a mother-daughter vibe where it's like you ride waves and some of those waves can crash really hard.
Yeah.
But I'm not getting the sense, like if you say something terrible about your sister, I don't think that's necessarily the worst thing in the world when you also have cast members making jokes about how another one is a cunt and you have a cast member saying that these victims aren't real and my... you know, a strange husband is maybe innocent. Like, how is this worse? How is a sister dynamic that you, Rinna, were not a part of and have now inserted yourself into worse than the very real things that we're watching play out on camera? And then we're adding the conspiracy theory on top of it.
Well, that all being said, the two people I think may not show up are Rinna and Diana.
There's no way she's not showing up because she has built herself a little bit of armor or response. So hours before then an episode goes up where she says, if you really cared about these victims, you would be contributing money, which sidebar to me is an insane theory when your friend who was married to the man who defrauded these people of millions isn't returning earrings, but we're pretending that Sutton and Garcelle should be financially contributing. Why aren't you saying to your friend, why aren't you returning this stuff? This is not...
It's because these people
don't... This is not the Elton John gala. No. You're not buying a table. You should be returning items purchased with stolen funds.
These people don't think of money the same way as everyone else is what I'm sort of realizing. And like maybe like Diana understands the value of a dollar a little bit more than any of the rest of them. And maybe so did Erica at one point, or maybe these women did because they were poor at one point. Mm. But the fact is, I think maybe the fact that they were poor at one point, like also like now that they have this, like they're never going back. And so like maybe that's like triggering them or something. But it was a crazy thing to say, like, if you care so much, donate the money.
Well, and
like, why should it be fucking anyone else's responsibility to donate their actual hard-earned money? Not that you wouldn't, but when what we're talking about here is the fact that shit was taken from these people.
Whose responsibility is it? Whose responsibility is it to make these people whole? And so hours before that episode airs, Diana announces the launch of a new foundation mm-hmm. that will be in some way... contributing $100,000, but not,
yeah.
I don't know the ins and outs of it, to be honest, and I don't want to get into a lot of specifics about that, except to say that while it is great to support the victims, and while it's wonderful and almost adorable that Erica commented with red hearts on that post, what the conversation that nobody seems to be having that I think is ridiculous, and hopefully this happens at the reunion, is a conversation to Erica, putting the weird, are you guilty stuff aside and asking her, did she benefit from this? Because what she is trying to push is these items were a gift. It doesn't matter whether or not they were purchased with money that did not belong to Tom. This is mine because it was given to me, which to me connects to the conversation that would be the worst possible one to have to me with Erica, which is, did you benefit? The life that you are focused on, the life that you are angry about losing, not only was it lost, not only in Erica's words, however she phrased it, like as a woman scorned, but who scorned you?
A wife in ruins is what she said.
Right. But ruins as the result of what? What happened to lead to that?
But all the only thing she would say to this is, I don't know. I can't know until the legal process is done. She can't know if she benefited from this money because she would argue that she doesn't know which money, which actual dollars in the bank are crooked and which aren't. Which I don't know how the legal process can decide that.
Mm.
Because if you make $100,000, that's hard earned, and put it in a bank account with $100,000 of stolen money, and you buy something for $50,000, how are you differentiating which of those dollars you spent? But I guess it does get, that's how it gets, right? Like, because how can she say that the earrings bought from that account weren't also stolen money that was put into that account? Like, you can't say that, but you also can't say it's not. Which to me is just like, I guess you have to prove intent and direct involvement. Maybe she does have a point with the fact that they were gifts of it all. She might get scot-free out of this legally, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about the morality of it, which she's already said where she stands. So none of this may pan out anyway.
She's saying it's not a morality issue, it's a legal issue, and which is sidestepping the enormous morality issue, which is behind Tom's crimes. Like, the single worst thing that you can do as a lawyer is do exactly what Tom did, and he didn't do it one time. He did it for seemingly well over a decade. He did it for a number of years,
right,
resulting in many, many, many tens of millions of dollars. So I think from the perspective of, unfortunately, you know, for Erica, the fact that Tom isn't able to answer to a lot of this, but he's still accountable to it. Like, financially, it seems very likely that there is some sort of financial settlement that's going to take place. Right now, it's Erica fighting to say what should be considered a part of this. You know, like, I don't know how you find out, not a lawyer, I don't know how you find out the ins and outs of discovering where money came from versus money is owed.
Mm-hmm.
And as the wife of this person, she's tied up in this, which is a separate conversation from, did you benefit? Like, what was the life, which is a separate conversation from, how did your life improve before being cast on BH and while on BH? It seemed like her life really bloomed a lot as a result of this show. So, like,
well, people knew who she was, so her personal enterprises could flourish. But she also was already flourishing professionally. I mean, we had heard from her first episode or so that she had had a number of number one dance hits.
Yeah.
And we had already seen very early into her tenure on the show, like, her performing for very large crowds and, like, living a lavish lifestyle. So ultimately, and I know they are using the footage of the show, like, right, legally. So it's, I just don't think there is a possible way to determine, like, what was, like, quote unquote, her money, his money, the victim's money, when it's all thrown really into the same pot and transferred and like, put into different accounts. Because, and then she's just going to say everything was a gift and therefore she's not actually responsible for it.
Well, I think that's also, like, a separate conversation with a legal correspondent going through the ins and outs of her LLC.
Yeah.
And checks that were deposited from Girardi Keese into that business account. Like, that then gets into the potentially not being personally liable but professionally liable, which is still ongoing. Like, there, you guys can follow Emily D. Baker. You can follow the Bravo docket. There are people who are lawyers and Bravoholics who are doing that work, which I can't really speak to, except to say that Erica not only is not helping herself, but is revealing herself in such a way that things that were said on AG many months ago about the hypothesis that seemed maybe somewhat wild, that she doesn't think Tom did this, seems to be playing out in real time. And to me, like, yeah, we can have surely there is going to be a lot of focus on her behavior, but maybe that's where the focus should be, which is connected to legal matters.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, she does need to respond to the way that she has been, like, wilding out on BH. That's the conversation to have. And also to say to Rinna, what do you think of that?
Yeah.
because now the spotlight is on someone who tried to shut it down, but she did for a reason because she knew it was wrong. But we're not having that conversation right now. We're having the conversation of you need to no longer be on camera because this isn't helpful to you. And the reason I give a shit is because I know it's extremely not helpful to me. And in X amount of months time, I'm going to be asked to respond to this. So if you can give as little as possible, it would make my life easier. That's why Kyle was upset.
I can't defend you. Because that's literally what it is.
You are involving me in something that is indefensible, and I have done my level best to try to drive conversation a different way, and you're not helping me right now. Allow me to help myself, and Erica's unwilling to do it.
Do you think she was wasted again?
Erica?
Yeah.
100% she was absolutely intoxicated. Yeah. But I always think that this is relatively simplistic, and I don't drink a lot. But I've always felt that alcohol reveals yourself. It lowers your inhibitions. So you feel like you have the courage from the drink, potentially, to me, not necessarily to like change into a monster, but to magnify your true feelings. Mm. It's a revealer, I think.
So do you think that she gets asked by Andy on the reunion, like, is this how you really feel? And she'll probably be like, yeah, it is.
Well, what's the this here? She's going to say that the thing that I didn't say.
Do you actually only care about yourself?
And she's going to say, of course, I'm in a crisis position.
Yeah.
Who else should I be caring about? If I don't care about, I no longer have my husband. If I don't care about me, who's going to?
Mm.
And how do you respond to that?
Yeah.
Because she's also connected it to the legal stuff. She's connected it to the when Garcelle says, I understand why you're communicating in a certain way because you feel like if we have a morality conversation, it's showing guilt. Like Garcelle in that moment is trying to help Erica by saying, here's a lifeline here where I understand legally why you might not want to be in a position to like volunteer to give things back because of how that might look for you and what people might come for next. But Erica only hears, you think I'm guilty. I'm guilty of nothing. The people who are guilt for putting me in this position. She's not thinking about Tom. She's thinking about the victims filing suits against her. Those are the people who should be feeling guilty right now, not Erica.
Yeah. They were all obviously drunk, I think, because it's, I think.
And they had some gummy time.
And they had some gummy time too. Because like the way that they were all engaging with her, like just a few episodes, you feel like Garcelle would have just walked away and been like, I'm not talking to her when she's drunk. Like no one can see how fucked up she is. Like I got a sense that they were all like a little turnt and like willing to dig in on it. And I will say this about last night's episode. I'd rather watch that because like things are happening than like them all standing around Dorit's little circle table in her house, which, by the way, did you ever notice that whenever they hang out at her house, they hang out around that one little circle table that's by her couches, and there's not enough room for everyone, and they all sort of like peer around that little circle table and like say nothing.
I love it. It's both hot and cold.
Yes. But like, I'd rather watch this happen than nothing, and I feel like nothing has happened all season.
Well, I'd rather this happen, which doesn't benefit. The loser in last night's episode was seemingly Erica, regardless of how you feel about alliances, versus like a conversation that's inappropriate and frankly unsafe about Crystal's ED journey. Like that's a totally different, in that the responsibility of that on the editors, on production, versus what's happening right now where I'm like, okay, the person losing here is Erica. She doesn't know it, or she does and it's not her fault and here's why. That to me is more of something that can be discussed.
I really wonder what tone Crystal will take about all of that at the reunion.
I hope we see more of ugly leather pants vibes.
Yeah.
And more of how she behaved and responded last night, where it's like, I'm going to say my thing. And I'm standing strong in it. And Sutton could learn something from that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that Sutton has that kind of ability to.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know that Sutton can really respond, which is so unfortunate because there are so many zingers that would land if only she could, because there's a lot of silence there in Sutton's pain. If she had the ability to respond, she would be doing herself a favor and, more importantly, us.
I also get a sense that she might be, and this is not a comment on intelligence, I think it might be a comment on how she processes. She's slow.
Who?
Sutton. She is like a true Southern woman. I mean, they make jokes about how she's Miss Daisy, but like she, I've seen her on like talk shows. Do you remember when, like, I don't know if you watched it, but like Maren Morris stepped in for Jimmy Kimmel once and Sutton Strack was the guest. Like Sutton Strack was fully a guest on Jimmy Kimmel.
I heard about it because of Maren, I think, on Watch What Happens, but I didn't see it.
And like,
oh no, because they talked about it on something, whatever.
We talked about it on my show.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. So
I knew it came from somewhere.
Sutton was so, it was like she wasn't on television. She's like, well, I think that, yes, it is hard to be on Housewives, but it's fun. And I'm like, okay, what? Why did it take you 45 years and 6 days?
Yeah.
To get that out. And that's why I think like a lot of these women are fast. Like Dorit doesn't say a lot, but she says a lot of words. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like Kyle is like doing the splits, like having conversations. Miss Erica is loud. Mm-hmm. She's powerful.
And aggressive.
And even like, so it's like with Sutton being slow, just purely in terms of process and delivery, with Garcelle, I think being sort of, I think she thinks she's like, she's like unbothered by it and like thinks she's better than it. But when she activates, she's great. I just feel like sometimes she's just like, I'm not doing this. And with Crystal, I think she's nervous. So that's why the three of them can't really.
Yeah, I think that
mobilize.
Sutton is meandering and Crystal can be verbal, but some of those words really land. I mean,
yes,
we need,
but she needs
more
to want to say them. Like sometimes I think she feels like, you know what, I'm just, I don't even know what to say here or like whatever, or like, and I think she's more nervous than anyone realizes.
I think Sutton thinks that most of these people like her and Crystal maybe is uncomfortable with the idea that maybe her behavior will lead to people not liking her. Like if you say the thing, Erica might not like you anymore.
Do you think they like Crystal?
I don't know. I honestly don't even know if they appreciate her. Which is why the conversation that they have about like safety, health stuff is so weird to me, because they are considering themselves intimates in a way that we have never seen.
You know, I think it said everything when Crystal said like second or third or fourth episode of this season, my feelings don't matter to them.
She's right.
It doesn't matter what I think or feel. And she said it in Crystal, in Kyle's home when, and this is why I brought up earlier, Kyle acting crazy there.
Yeah.
Because it was Kyle's home. And so Kyle felt like she had free rein to say whatever the fuck she wanted to say. And she was completely invalidating Crystal's feelings because she wasn't recognizing them and wasn't even trying to understand. And I think sometimes another thing these women do is, in order to feel like they're getting somewhere with someone, they have to totally break that person down.
Well, that's progress to them. We've seen that with Garcelle.
Yeah, with Garcelle, where they basically made her cry. Like,
that's vulnerability.
To them.
Right.
And I actually, when we had Garcelle on the show, I was like, I know that you felt on camera and in the edit like it was like a positive thing, but what I saw was them needing you to literally weep in front of them to give you a hug on camera. It looked like they were like needing you to break, like just so they could recognize your feelings of feeling like an outsider in the group for the plethora of reasons that you do as valid. And she even said on Las Culturistas to see what she was like, yes, but you know, it really did help. And I was like, okay. You know, she felt it helped. She felt it helped. I mean, she didn't feel broken down by it in a way that was problematic.
Well, and I also feel like that's the kind of like tension that exists within being a Bravoholic and watching these shows, is like we can feel something. We can feel something in defense of someone. We can feel something really strongly on their behalf, but that might not be their experience.
Mm-hmm.
And so there is that divide. There is that split of like, this thing is really harmful and it's really bad. And that person who's experiencing it, who might be the target of it, may feel that way or they might not. And I feel like the primary example of that to me is going to be Sutton. Do you think that Kyle is a good friend?
Yeah, that's a really important question.
To you.
And Sutton can't be. And
not on your behalf.
And this is when she's going to be annoying. Well, Kyle and I, we talk to each other. And I'm just already like, Sutton.
Yeah.
This is why I'm saying it's like, I understand like the fan base like stands Sutton. Like, I'm a Sutton. Trust me, I have a group thread that I talk to my people about with Housewives. It's called Sluttons. Like, you know, I mean, like, I feel Sutton, but like, understand that they're actually editing together someone who appears to be slow.
Yeah.
That has to be really frustrating for all these women. Like, if they're saying these things like ad nauseum, like Sutton like can't deliver or land her thing, I understand that's like Rich coming from Dorit, who like uses a lot of words to do it. Mm-hmm. But it's probably really frustrating to have to deal with Sutton in real time.
Well, there was that scene of Crystal being like, Sutton, come on.
Yeah.
Like, keep it up. And Sutton's like, I'm fine, I got this. And then completely
And then
loses
she flopped.
It. Yeah.
And it's just like, I think that Garcelle is like amused and entertained by her. Mm-hmm. And also is more of a laid back person because she's not like someone who's actually driven by conflict, mm-hmm. which sometimes makes it like, you know, I understand why she checks out so quickly of things. Of like certain situations.
But I don't know that it's always checking out. I feel like there's an element of disengagement and protection in this. And also, I'm no longer needed here. Like with Erica spiraling, it's like me contributing to this further isn't necessary. This person is doing a monologue right now. This is going to be in the Smithsonian. Like, I don't need to be a part of this.
I think what I'm saying is I don't necessarily think that Garcelle is not a good housewife. It's just that like it's not working chemistry-wise with this group. Because clearly it's not. They look miserable every episode.
And how? And again, and my counter would not even counter, but response is like, how could you not be?
Exactly. But and I also agree with that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't think it's their fault.
Right.
What I'm saying is the environment is broken.
So let's change it.
I think.
I think you should text Andy maybe right after this. And he be like, Andrew.
Does he ever ask me for my opinion? When I was there. Oh. I can't really say. Mm-hmm. There was a situation where he asked my opinion on who should sit in what chair out on Watch What Happens Live. And I helped with that.
And it was not an episode that you were on?
No.
This was after you were on Watch What Happens. He was like, hey, bestie.
They were having a concern about which housewife should sit in which seats because it was two housewives
oh, that's
from
a
two
nightmare.
Different franchises. And I came in with the strong opinion that was taken and I think received well that I will tell you off air.
Okay, great. Yeah, there's some off air stuff that I can share.
I mean, like, but I think there was one time, and I did tell you, I had commented on someone's Watch What Happens Live appearance and he sort of rolled his eyes and said, yeah, I think they did the best they could do.
Right.
Which to me did not spell great things. But it's really interesting to go. Now that you've been, you can see sort of like, it really is like a small ecosystem and to be involved in it. Again, I've been on with Bowen, of course, and then Karen Huger.
Oh my God.
But when you're with a friend, like when I was with Bowen, it's like, yeah, really, we can really pop off. Like it's the clubhouse. The vibes are like high, you know, like you're drunk.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you're with a housewife, you do feel like, you know, that night is to service the housewife. So unless you are like someone like Rappaport that's like, I don't like Kenya Moore and I'm gonna say it to her face right now, who kind of actively seeks out that moment, mm-hmm. like, you know, it would depend on who you were put with. Which if you look at the pairings on any given Watch What Happens Live episode, nothing is a mistake. It's not all just scheduling. It's like they're trying to get certain things to happen, I think.
Yeah, which I think, you know, and it is also that, like, it's a universe in and of, it's an experience in and of itself. I haven't bartended yet. But
oh,
I've,
you should.
Same, agree. But I've attended, I think, 4 times. And it's like, it's every time I, let alone the Kathy episode, but
yeah, that was like that was crazy.
That was tough because you know that this is a moment that is going to lead to a necessary important conversation.
Strong reaction online.
Yeah,
that was not good.
But we were not obviously witness to that reaction. Andy knew during the Andy was like, oh my God, we all were aware how
did Andy react.
He came over to us at a commercial. He was like, But we don't know how intense it was online after. And honestly, you're so out of it because it's live, commercial breaks, you're cheering.
Yeah.
You want these women to do well. You feel a responsibility to them and to the show. And because the audience is like 20 people or whatever, that it's like
it's you feel like you're high. And so to get out of that high and then be like, wait, what? What just took place?
I really hate watching someone flop on Watch What Happens Live because it really should be so easy. Like, you don't have to answer anything you don't want, but if you're not going to answer it quickly. Because I think the worst thing you could do is look boring on Watch What Happens. Like, it's really bad. And I think that they care more than any of the housewives think.
It is also interesting, like, I was having this conversation with OG of the AG, Damian Bellino, about the upcoming season of Salt Lake. Like, is Jen Shah going to go and Watch What Happens? And I said, absolutely. She would be there every day. And yeah, she's going to love it, and she's going to revel in it, and she's going to have some thoughts. Versus Diana not appearing not once, being a new housewife, how surprising that decision was. Who knows who it was made by, but I would think from like the position of currying good favor, no better opportunity than Watch What Happens, maybe toward the beginning of her season when we're just kind of being introduced to this person, to have content that's seemingly built around making you look fun.
You have to go on Watch What Happens Live.
Me?
Well, yes, you, of course.
But also a housewife.
But like also as a housewife, like,
yeah,
that's like, it's such a great opportunity. Like, yeah, if you're going to be a housewife, go and Watch What Happens Live.
It feels like one of the rewards. It's like working for Disney and getting to go to the fucking park.
Well, literally. And also, it's just like, the thing is, like, also, like, make it so that one of your castmates doesn't have to go five times.
Yeah.
Like, again, I love Kyle, like, but she's been on so much. Like, it feels like Brandi Glanville was on 1,000 times. I got the sense that they had booked Diana, and then one time they threw Brandi, certainly not that. They threw Brandi on there because, like, she might have dropped out. But, like,
maybe. I don't know.
I don't know. Like, especially Salt Lake with only five main cast. Like,
and Jen. When it's, like, super, super Jen innocent campaign, that's going to be a tough time to schedule.
She won't be on those episodes.
No, she'll be on beginning and end.
Yeah. I would say that with... Is Potomac and Salt Lake, are they both on Sunday nights?
I forget. I never watch live.
Or is Potomac Wednesday? Oh, yeah, you don't watch live.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. Yeah. I can't take it. It gives me anxiety. I need a second day cinnamon tea frost
milk. Feels like, you know what, though? It feels like there's like 19 women on Potomac again. And like, there's only five on Salt Lake. So like, they'll figure it out.
They will.
Like, it'll be a fun fall winter.
Also, if they can give more attention to Potomac, God bless.
I think that they have recognized that Potomac is that girl.
Yeah.
Because you see they got a whole new, like, spread.
Yes.
I think they might have even gotten new title sequences. Which deserve. They've needed for years.
Right.
Like, Candace doesn't even look like the same woman.
Your queen, Candace.
Okay.
When is Candace coming on Lost Culture?
Yeah, well, she did win a Lost Culturistas Culture Award loved for Record of the Year.
Her acceptance speech was magical.
She sent in an acceptance speech alongside giants like Lisa Kudrow and Taylor Swift.
So Taylor sent two.
Yeah, she did.
She did.
Tay. La. But yeah, I mean, listen, again, like, if I had to throw out one name of someone that I would have on, because Kyle, I want to talk to one-on-one just personally.
I want to talk
but
to
if
Kyle
I could
for
have,
hours.
If I could have one housewife on the show, I think, honestly, I don't think anyone from Jersey because it's just too local and it's drama. And like, Teresa, you can't really talk to her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what? Maybe Kenya Moore.
Yeah, she's on my list.
Yeah.
On my imaginary list. I would also think you would want to talk to Tamra, maybe.
Tamra would be fun, but I would need to see more of what she does this season. I don't know. See, Tamra would be fun, though, because she also, like, knows housewives at large, you know? Like, she's like...
You know who I'd love to see on Watch... I was just about to say, Watch What Culturistas Happens. You know who I'd love to see?
What?
The Dynamics? Bethany.
Oh, I am so loudly anti-Bethany at this point.
You?
Oh yeah, I'm not a Bethany fan, and I, you know what I think is pathetic, her crusade against shadow banning. I think it is so insane. She looks crazy.
Well, and
crazy.
The Kardashians.
I have to say, the most overexposed women in the world being like, "We're so mad because we're not being exposed," is cuckoo bananas. And I understand that Bethany has like noble causes, but it's really a mess. Like, Bethany needs to go back on Housewives.
She knows that. So you don't think she knows that? She knows that.
Well, then did you see that she like sort of soft announced that her and Andy were going walking on the beach today?
Yes, which was planned. Oh, today?
Or like the other day she...
It was allegedly planned. It wasn't like they just like ran into each other. It was like a scheduled thing.
They were walking on the beach to have a discussion.
Oh, it's going
to
happen.
She was like, he wants to talk.
I bet he does.
Yeah. I honestly think, and this is someone who, again, I'm not opposed to having a person I don't like on the show. Yeah. I just want the show to be good.
Right.
I don't like Bethany. I think she must return.
She has to, for her sake, honestly, as well as our own. The business is built on,
yeah,
you know, the Bethany that we know. But what happens when we don't know her anymore?
Yeah.
We have to wrap it before we do. Can you just rapid fire tell me who's in your top five?
Yeah, sure. My top five is... Okay, I would say that, and this is going to be really wild, but I do love Kyle, and I think at her best, she's so much fun. I love Kenya. I love Candace. I love Karen. And honestly, because I do really appreciate Jersey, and like I feel like it's in my heart, like I can just pick my favorite from that, yeah, which is Melissa.
Yeah. We have some similarities there.
And honestly, not necessarily I feel good. I feel good about my top five, yeah, ATM at the moment.
Also, I believe very strongly that top fives can't be disputed or argued. You should feel safe and comfortable as you would with literally anything.
It's
but
who I get the most serotonin from when they, yeah, pop on screen. And honestly, I'll tell you something big for me is whether they make me laugh or not, or whether I just look at their life and I think fun. Love like that. when I see Melissa in her kitchen with her kids and like Joe comes home and like they have conversations about whatever the fuck, I'm like, fun. I think Jennifer Aiden is pure dumb fun. I identify as Margaret Josephs. Mm. I don't always like her, which I think is important when you're seeing who you identify with, because you identify things that you don't love about yourself. Mm-hmm. But I do think I'm closest to Margaret.
I hear you.
You know, I mean, I feel pretty good about that. And then in terms of Salt Lake, I think, you know, I identify as, I understand Lisa Barlow's fast food thing.
Lisa Barlow came on a live show that we did online beginning of the summer. Iconic. Literally,
yeah,
iconic.
She's
in full glam.
One of the craziest women in America, and she should be on Housewives. And she, when she got that center snowflake,
oh my God,
she said, God is good. She said, God is good today.
Matt Rogers, I can't tell you how obsessed I am with you. You made the schlep
to
the
schlep.
Office on the Upper East Side. Ursula watching over that magical touch.
Period. I honestly always love coming on this show because you are like so clinical about Housewives. Like you are, I actually, in talking to you, I literally just said to myself in my brain when we were talking earlier, I was like, does she have a law degree? You don't.
No, but my dad's a litigator.
So you have.
So I was raised in
the. So you think you're a lawyer the way I think I'm a hairdresser.
Well, I also think being in an environment where you had to defend everything that was like I grew up in a relatively, I don't want to say like cutthroat, but in an intense environment in which I had to defend myself and be able to communicate.
So you are sort of like identifying with Cher Horowitz.
A little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, also the Clawfish. I don't have a little thing that like goes on.
Honestly, it's very
circle.
Clueless vibes in here. It's someone who was inspired by Cher's aesthetic in terms of, you know, organization. And also, father was a litigator.
Yeah. For over a bajillion years.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's like and growing up in a law office where I had to like use my imagination when I was a little kid, but also did like, you know, sidebar legal stuff so I could buy stuffed animals.
There you go.
Stamping and stapling.
That's huge. I mean, it all makes a lot of sense. But I love getting psychological about these women. And nothing I say take seriously at all.
Yeah. Don't send us any letters unless they're filled with love.
But I also think I was able to explain, and you're always able to explain why you think a certain thing. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like you can't attack someone when they come with like a clear explanation.
Oh, people do constantly. But I think that's part of like, that's also the other person's experience. We're not used to having conversations in which people disagree or listeners disagree. At the end of the day, if we had a conversation where we took a poll before the pod and said, what does everyone feel? And let's make sure we check that off the list. I think that would be pretty boring.
So boring. I mean, I will say, when I did go on Watch What Happens Live the second time, they asked me some stuff, and the caption they used was, Matt Rogers defends calling Bethany Trump-like. Oh, no. And the comment section there was nuts. It was like, yeah, she is like Trump, who rocks. Yeah, why? Because she wants to give back to people. If that's Trump-like, then I'm in, and I am in. Hashtag Trump. It was just so like, oh my God, like the underbelly was really revealing itself.
Are you going to BravoCon?
You know, when is it?
I forget. Mid-October? October 14th.
I could go.
You could go.
But actually, you know, they had soft-assed me and Bowen to like moderate something.
Yes.
And I feel like it didn't happen, but I wasn't opposed.
Did you respond to that?
I thought I told my they reached out to like, I think I was my publishers or something, but it didn't get scheduled. So I guess it's not happening.
I'm looking at you. That would have been.
I would have loved to have done something.
We should get, and by we, I mean your people should get back in touch with Bravo HQ to make that happen.
Maybe. I think it really went away. Maybe because they wanted me and Bowen to do it together, but also like he can't do anything in October. He's got Saturday Night Live, the television show.
How much longer are you in New York, by the way?
I'm here until the 11th, and then I go up to Toronto to shoot something. So right now I'm here shooting some final stuff for a performance you came to go see, which I'm very happy that you came to that. And then I'm shooting some more stuff to make that project complete. I'm being very vague. And then I'm going to shoot a small guest star part in Toronto on a show.
Oh my God, I can't wait to hear about that offline. Yeah. I do have to say, and we are, I promise, wrapping, that I did have the pleasure of seeing you perform at Joe's Pub, a performance in which I laughed, I cried, I absolutely did also weep, which is different from crying. And you're so... I cannot say enough about how talented you are. And you're so open-hearted, which is incredibly important when you're performing live and connecting with people. But I feel that even in speaking with you one-on-one, I just think that you are, you know, one in a million. You're so funny. You're so smart. I loved hearing you sing and hearing you just be your truest self, even with like a little bit of a wink. Yeah. I think that was an incredible accomplishment to see you in your absolute truest element.
Well, hopefully if people keep their eyes peeled, they can see that later in the year, maybe. And that's all I'll say about that one.
I mean, let's just slide a little to be continued Bravo style in there.
I know. We're ending the episode to be continued, which is really apropos.
I'm into it. What's an elevator pitch about Las Culturistas LOL at the idea that you even need to pitch it at this point?
Two dumb gay best friends talk stupid shit with each other for 90 minutes or less, we hope.
Oh,
sometimes guests that you love,
that obsessed,
like the guests are great when we have them,
but also I love when it's a
we do a culture catch up, because we talk about the pop culture on news of the day. And I don't know, if you were into anything that you heard today, you might like Las Culch.
I
think people that listen to this podcast would, and probably there's probably crossover.
I 100% think there's crossover, as there should be. And guys, I'm not joking when I say it's my number one podcast.
That's so nice. Every time you say that, I'm like, surely something else must have come at this point.
No, I'm obsessed with it. Where can people follow you on social?
At Matt Rogers, though, only on Instagram, because I'm absolutely deathly afraid of Twitter. But that being said, you can also follow at Las Culturistas on Twitter, which I do check because I'm sick. Very sick mentally.
Oh my God.
I can't stop. But yeah, that's where we are. At Matt Rogers, though, THO, and at Las Culturistas.
And I love that Andy calls you at Matt Rogers, though.
He does. He thinks it's cute.
To not use your actual name and to use your
handle. His direct quote was, he thinks it's cute.
I love that. Andy Cohen, a youth. I'm into it. Guys, follow me on Instagram at Dame Galley and join the Andy's Girls Patreon, number one way to support the pod. There is a new Patreon episode up now with my live reaction to the Potomac trailer, answering your satchels of gold about Beverly Hills, and so much more. Patreon.com/Andy's Girls. Matt Rogers, thanks for coming back to the club.
Thank you for having me. I'm again in wonder at the many things, and I'm taking a couple garments.
You are welcome to, and I will send you that invoice momentarily. Guys, hope you're all doing okay, and we will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.